ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's Joe George, assistant to the regional manager behind the glass, and it is a Tuesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. And business is picking up around Houston. We have like 3A stories today.
Yes,
Yordan Alvarez deciding to get soft again, not wanting to play. The NFL draft is right around the corner. Not only is the NFL draft on Thursday, but Will Levis to the moon, baby. A Reddit post has made Will Levis' odds of going number one become very, very realistic. But the Houston Rockets. How about the Houston Rockets graduating from the G League to be an NBA basketball team again? They are now an NBA organization again. They're no longer a G League organization. They're back to the big leagues, baby.
This says so much about, as I had said, the most important offseason in the history of the Houston Rockets by Rafael Stone making the right hire. Rafael Stone could have continued to rule the roost and do whatever he wanted and interrupt whatever he wanted and have free reign wherever he wanted. But he realized that the leash was short and that his seat was very hot. So instead, he made the educated move of getting a guy who had a better resume, who had more longevity, and essentially mirrored the Houston Texans. You went from a general manager like Nick Caserio, who really screwed up the last coach or coaches that he had hired, and he got smart enough to get a guy that was going to be the voice of the franchise, that maybe had more power and more voice than he was going to have, but in the process was going to make him look good and was probably going to give him a little longer leash. Stone did the same thing. He went to a guy that was the only guy, in my opinion, that could do everything they needed to do. He could command the locker room. He could get more credibility in a organization that just grossly needs it to rebuild the culture. And he also became, with more job security and more experience than the general manager, the smartest and most and the loudest voice in the room, and it makes the Rockets better because of it.
Kelly Eco will be joining us at 1:30. He was all over the coaching search and then the Houston Rockets hire. I think there's a couple of angles you can look at this, too. First is from, like, the Rockets angle. The Tillman Fertitta, the Rafael Stone. You know, I'm hoping that whenever they're doing the introductory press conference that they're asked, okay, what was this process like? Who's the one that led this charge? I really don't care because this is a Rockets move, and I believe the Rockets got it right. Mm-hmm. Emi Udoka, 1 year in the NBA, went to the NBA Finals. Joe George brought up the notion yesterday, hey, look, he was on a really good team. He was only 1 year. He doesn't have the body of work. But something that also that I like, he spent nearly 10 years with Greg Popovich, like the guy that you want an assistant coach to learn under. So I love the resume, the fact that he was in that, you know, the 1 year in Boston, went to the NBA Finals. I think it's great. But it's also the Houston Rockets, because like you were on the forefront of this really all throughout the season, from like day one of the NBA season, the moment that the season tipped off, that the Rockets need that voice in the room. They need an authority figure. They need somebody that not only are the players going to listen to, but the general manager isn't going to impede the progress of development, practices, things like that. So whenever they hired Emi Udoka, that was the Houston Rockets and Rafael Stone, in my opinion, saying, okay, I concede. This is your team. I'm going to supply you with the players. I'm going to do the best job I can of, you know, bringing you talent. Maybe we talk about moves that we're making. But once that is done, this is your team. I'm getting out of the way. I think it was a good decision by Rafael Stone, and I think it's him conceding power, to be quite honest.
He really is. And this is a business decision because no other team in the league is going to hire this guy as general manager because he came in with zero experience and he was a cheap, quick fix hire for Tillman, who was trying to escape all that he was overpaying Daryl Morey and the buyout that they executed to get rid of him. When he was called out by the president and everybody else, when everybody was set off by the tweet that he had about the China and everything that was going on there. In the meantime, though, what it did is he was realistic in knowing that, look, too much of the word had gotten out. Too many of the guys were talking about how this was a bleep show, mm-hmm. how no one wanted to be here. So to a point that you were tweeting about last night, which is extremely accurate, which is Udoka didn't have to choose here, and he chose here, which is a really great sign for the franchise. But in doing so, I have to believe there was a lot of communication and there was a lot of established guidelines of what was going to and not going to happen going forward. Because otherwise, I don't think any coach would have taken this job. And a lot of the Wojes and the Windhorsts and the guys like that were already alluding to that, like, which coach is going to want to take this job? But at the end of the day, I think there was a little bit of a fast forward pressed on the situation because of the fact that Udoka's name surfaced the minute that Nick Nurse parted ways with the Raptors, that Masai Ujiri had a relationship already established with Udoka, and the Rockets knew that if they waited too long, dragged their feet, or kept interviewing candidates, they might lose the guy that they knew was probably the best fit for this job. And they acted quickly. They acted swiftly. They got the guy that they sorely needed. And now Stone is just going to have to peacefully coexist with him in order for it to work for both.
And to your point, it might be job preservation, right? Like, you get out of the way and you let that guy coach and you collect enough talent to win. And maybe it's a marriage and a partnership that can last for a very, very long time. I'm excited about it. Like, the Houston Rockets, literally, in my opinion, have graduated from the G League to the NBA. They've also, you know where else they've graduated? They've graduated from no one caring about the Houston Rockets in this city to everybody caring about the Houston Rockets in this city. No one really cared during the season. Like, yeah, I mean, you have your Rockets fans and your diehards that are watching every game and seeing the development of Alpi and Jalen and Jabari, and it's fun, and we're certainly a couple of those guys as well. But from a general consensus around this city, a lot of people forgot about the Houston Rockets. A lot of people were like, wake me up whenever they're a playoff contender. They, yesterday, by signing Udoka to be their next head coach, they've graduated the interest of the city from being kind of an afterthought. Yeah, we know what's going on, but we kind of casually care, to now where I think people are going to be really interested, really invested. And then, of course, what happens in the draft lottery, which comes up on May 16th, is going to be something else that could certainly, you know, switch the fan interest up another 100 notches, especially if they land number one. But, of course, a better chance they don't land at number one. Here's the other thing, Blankers, of where, like, this encourages me from a Rockets point of view, and you brought up some of it. M.A. Udoka had many other opportunities around the NBA. He could have been a head coach a lot of different places in the NBA. The Toronto Raptors kind of mutually parted ways with a former NBA champion head coach in Nick Nurse because they felt they were going to hire M.A. Udoka. He chose the Rockets over the Raptors. He chose the Rockets over other potential openings. From a Rockets point of view, if you're a Houston Rocket fan, this is very encouraging, too, that Udoka saying, I want to be the head coach of that team right there over other teams around the league.
Yeah, look, and if you or I were in the same situation and you're considering where to go, where not to go, to, you know, excluding relationships that exist with people in the organization, well, you got the chance to have the number one pick. You got a really good young roster of talent that no one has really taken the time and put the energy into developing to see what you truly have. You know, you're in a warm weather city with low property taxes, no state tax. You have a chance to do a lot of good quickly. You look at Toronto, it's a complete rebuild. You don't have the pick that the Rockets have. They're really basically trying to get out of a lot of big contracts like Van Vliet and a lot of veterans that they really don't know what to do with now that they don't have Kawhi's and Kyle Lowry's and the like of guys like that. So of the two, and it's cold, and there's a big tax, and NBA players get taxed huge amounts of money to go to play in Canada. And so the choice from my standpoint is a lot easier than I think from externally. As much as it is about the culture and everything else, too, you should think in your heart of hearts, if I take this job no matter where I go, I'm changing the culture in the locker room immediately, and what I say is going to go. Mm-hmm. But I also need to have the overall, right? I need to have a comfortable way of living. I need to feel good about the city. I need to feel, you know, a certain way about the weather and the roster and the draft picks. It should be a very attractive job. The only thing that has really squashed it down a lot has been all of the whatever the missteps and the dysfunction that's been going on between those four walls from the front office to the locker room.
But I think that him picking the Rockets changes that idea.
Like, I think
it changes
right.
The notion of that, because you have, again, a guy that was highly coveted around the NBA that's saying, yeah, that's the organization for me. I'm sure that he was well compensated, but other places would have compensated him incredibly well as well.
I think it's a win-win because he needed another job. And he got it.
But don't you think he would have been... Don't you think
someone else would have hired him, right?
He would have been a head coach next year if it weren't for the Rockets.
Right, but he's now getting another job with at least a team that has a lot of potential to take a quick leap forward.
That's the other thing. He must believe in the roster.
So I think he believes in the roster for sure. But I think this was a win-win because I think the Rockets needed him. The Rockets needed a guy that brought instant credibility to the franchise from a basketball standpoint alone. Forget the off-the-floor stuff for a minute and just say, from the basketball side of things, you're getting the guy that everybody looked at as probably the best overall coach available in a short window of time. And they needed a guy that they could go to that could change the culture. I don't think Nick Nurse could have changed the culture. Frank Vogel basically had the perception that he was walked upon by LeBron James, and everybody did whatever they did.
LeBron walks on everybody.
Right, but I mean, even from the standpoint of Rob Pelinka, you know, he was a victim of falling third fiddle instead of second to the general manager. So of the coaches available, and you already know what I felt like with Borrego, I think that they got the guy that comes in and instantaneously, from a league perspective, changes the culture. Because now they know what he did with Boston and how he ran things. They assume he's going to do the same thing in Houston. So you can't erase what's happened in the past that everybody knows about. But going forward, you can start a reset button there and say, Ime's not going to deal with that kind of crap.
You got to hide the women, that's for sure.
Well, Josh, you also better hide Kevin Porter Jr. because the crap he got away with the previous regime ain't happening now.
I mean, it's gonna come to a head. Like it has to. Either in a good way or a bad way. But we're going to get our answer, which is something that I look forward to. Josh and Beaumont, not sure if y'all have hit on it already, but what happens when the details about being fired in Boston are leaked? There has to be more for Matt Barnes to say it was really, really bad. Look, I think Udoka needs to handle this just like completely honest, like as honest as he can and as transparent as he can, because this will be the first time he speaks publicly at this introductory press conference since all of this happened, since he was suspended by the Boston Celtics. I think that Ime needs to try to, he needs to try to be as honest as he possibly can. He needs to be transparent. He has to understand it's going to come to him for about 30 minutes where he's going to be peppered with questions. And then hopefully the way you answer, everybody looks on after that. It looks past it after that.
Yeah, the only thing I don't want to hear is that's in the past, we're moving on.
No, they need to address it.
Yeah, and Rafael Stone needs to address it too. Like why did you feel comfortable making this hire?
Yeah.
Like what kind of due diligence did you do? Did you only talk to Udoka? Like who all in the situation, what parties involved did you communicate with? Like there needs to be real honesty, because that's my only concern with the hire, is that the details are worse than what we assume. That the fact that, I mean...
And it could all come out.
It will come out. I'm shocked it's not out
no,
yet.
No, see, here's what I thought about when Joe actually called me to tell me that he had seen the tweet that it was going down. And the first thing I thought about was, he's going to go watch the Chauncey Billups press conference in Portland. He's going to go watch and learn from guys that have already been through what he's about to do. And he's going to learn how to handle it best. Because I don't know that the Rockets PR department is capable of doing that for him. He's going to have to do it on his own with his people. And he's going to be, if he's smart enough, and I believe that he is, he's going to go look at, remember, there was all that controversy with Chauncey when he took the Portland job or right after before the press conference.
Yeah.
And the way they handled that press conference, which was they didn't run from it, but they didn't say they were going to go into great detail about it. And to Joe's point, it was like, this is what we thought about from an organizational standpoint when we had the decision to make. From Chauncey's perspective, this is what Chauncey feels about, like, look, I made mistakes in the past. I'm all about going forward. And then you're done with it. And that's the best way to handle it, and I hope to handle it that way.
Yeah, I agree. We're going to circle back to this Kelly Eco at 1:30. We'll ask him, you know, what this all means to the Rockets. Kelly will tell us about every detail, and, you know, he's going to be part of that introductory press conference as well. We'll see how much he's willing to get into the weeds a little bit with Udoka, the new Rockets head coach, Ime Udoka, after being suspended for a year by the Boston Celtics. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. All of you Bryce Young lovers, everybody that wants Bryce Young in this city, you probably lost hope. Will Levis might be your savior. Also, I have a couple of crazy conspiracy theories. I want to ask you guys if it's conspiracy or if it's reality. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, crazy things are going on right now in the odds market to who's going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. Joe, I have a friend named Joe. He texted me this morning and was talking about, did you see the latest line movement of what is happening with Will Levis, where Will Levis, at one point a couple of days ago, his odds to go number one in the NFL draft, which I have a Will Levis going number one overall ticket, by the way. But anyways, the odds for Will Levis a couple of days ago to go number one, yesterday, in fact, was plus 5,000. Long shot, dark horse, very, very slim odds to be the number one pick. Last night, the odds went down to plus 2,000. Earlier this morning, plus 1,000. Blankers, they got all the way down to plus 400 for Will Levis to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. Levis, for a moment this morning, was a plus 400 pick to be the number one pick in the NFL draft.
I just...
Levis to the moon!
I know. I knew when I was reading all this, I knew you were loving it. I just don't see any scenario in my own mind, rationally, that Carolina traded up to get Will Levis, that they were thinking about Will Levis, or that they're going to take Will Levis. I know you do.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I think it's in play, but I still think Bryce Young's the number one pick.
I think we might be reliving. I'm going all in.
I think wanted to piss everybody off.
I think we're reliving
today,
the NBA draft. Like, this is Bankero Jabari Smith. Like,
trade all that draft capital to get to Will Levis.
Why not?
I don't think.
Why not?
They think he's the best quarterback in the draft.
Well,
sure,
I mean, sure, I guess. But still, you had, at that point in time when they made the trade, most people believed that he was maybe not even a top 10 pick.
But, like, look at Frank Reich's history.
That's not entirely true. I thought
when
he was
they
the
made
best
the
quarterback.
Trade.
Yeah, I did, and Mel Kiper did.
Well, but
at
you're
the time.
A little bit different.
Mel Kiper did. Mel Kiper had.
You guys are
Will
two
Levis.
Peas in a pod, but that's
I mean,
beside the
Mel
point.
Mel Kiper is, I mean, the perennial draft expert for the last three decades.
I mean, and you think you might be?
I believe it. I am.
See,
I recognize
there you go.
Talent.
You're two peas
I have
in a scout's
eye.
Like
they should fire Daniel Jeremiah. I'll change my name to Jeremiah. I'll be Jeremiah Branham, Lance Zierlein, ruling NFL Network for years.
I like that Joe was feeling personally connected to Daniel Jeremiah, you know, close enough
you
to call
just
him
fired
DJ.
Him.
Now everybody's calling him DJ.
Because that's what everyone calls him.
His friends. And
his friends.
Every podcast members. He's ever on.
His buddies.
Aside from us calling each other that because we have the same initials, the only people that call, and I would assume you're the same way, the only people that call me JB are friends of mine.
I used to have a lot of people call me JB. And then the creation of the show kind of killed that.
Yeah, exactly. Co-workers and friends of mine call me JB. Some schmomo I just met off the street's not going to call me JB.
Do they call you Blankers, though?
No. That one he picked up on his
point,
own,
though.
But that was my nickname for a long time.
Oh, was
I was
really?
Just curious.
Funny.
Ever since high school.
I was just curious if, like, at the gym now on Saturdays when you're playing basketball, if they call you Blankers.
No, they don't.
Blankers!
They
give me the rock!
Are you going to be really upset if, like, it starts to catch on with, like, your friends?
It's caught on Twitter and on the text line.
Oh, I know.
Oh, everybody and I'm fine with it. It's fine awesome. Because I've been called that my whole life.
I think my favorite thing about this whole Will Levis Vegas line movement, though, is this is AMC and GameStop all over again. Like, when Reddit had the let's take GameStop and let's take AMC and let's game the stock market and all capitalize and hold, all of this stuff. That's what's happening with Will Levis, because the rumor was out there on Reddit that Will Levis is telling his friends and his family that he's going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. Somebody posted that on Reddit. The line movement went crazy. In fact, I looked at my book today. They took every NFL draft bet off the board. They shut down NFL draft betting completely when I looked at it earlier today. So it's fascinating to me that Reddit has this sway and Reddit has this power. I was listening to some Charlotte radio on the way in today, some Charlotte sports radio. Mm. Most of them think that this is rumor, it's speculation, it's innuendo. Bryce Young's still going to be the number one pick. But some people were losing their minds, namely the texters. They were going nuts. If Will Levis is the number one pick, I'm going to be a Texan fan. Now, they didn't go that far. They didn't get that crazy. But they were losing their minds. They were losing their hats about the possibility of Will Levis being the number one pick of the NFL draft. They also said that apparently yesterday was decision day for Carolina, that the ownership group, Dave Tepper, the GM, the head coach,
easy,
they were all coming
easy
together.
Easy, DJ Bieniemy.
What's that?
The ownership, the way you said it the first time.
I mean, it's one word.
But there was a pause there. I was like, easy, DJ.
Anyway, so they yesterday was supposed to be the decision day of, like, when they were going to decide what we're doing at number one. So it kind of mirrors a little bit the line movement of Will Levis. Decision day yesterday, Will Levis line movement is starting to increase. I'm not ruling it out. I think Bryce Young is still the number one pick in the NFL draft, but I'm not ruling out the possibility that it is Will Levis. All you Bryce Young fans, and we know there are a lot of you, and rightfully so, he's one of my tier one quarterbacks in this NFL draft. Will Levis could ultimately be the savior if for the hope of Bryce Young being a Houston Texan. Because if Levis goes one, who goes number two? Houston Texans get Bryce Young, the guy they wanted all along. Will Levis could be the savior in this city.
We talked about this yesterday. I don't think there's any way you convince the city that he's the savior. I think there's too many casual fans.
If you get Bryce Young, he is the savior.
Oh, that way. Yeah. I was going to say. What I was going to say is, I don't think there's any way, because we talked about it yesterday, that if you take Will Levis at two, there's too many casual fans that just aren't going to be enamored and excited.
No, it's going to take a lot of really good play.
But if Joe's right, and we see the second coming of the Paolo Banchero draft, and suddenly Bryce Young is dropped back into your lap after the whole debacle in Indy that people won't let go of, won't forget, and still are going to say Texans are going to Texan and they're bothered by. If it all gets erased because of the fact that suddenly God takes like the stork blanket and the stork flies in and drops Bryce Young in your lap and says, "We forgive you now. We're gonna let you have your guy." Texans fans will go absolutely nuts with joy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Levis could be the savior of the city by being the number one pick of the NFL draft. Here's why I think there's legs. This is so fun. Like, draft season's the best. We're 2 days from the draft.
Tell Paulie that.
Will Levis was +5,000 to be the number one overall pick. I have a Will Levis going number one ticket, by the way. But anyways, Reddit. Of all places, Reddit, who was the power behind GameStop, the power behind AMC, is the power behind Will Levis to the moon. It's the power behind Will Levis now being on the table to be the number one pick, according to at least Vegas. Mm-hmm. Here's why I think it's on the table. Again, 90% chance in my mind, Bryce Young is the pick at number one. He'll be a Carolina Panther like we thought all along, except when they first traded it and people thought it was C.J. Stroud.
Right.
But here's why I think it does have legs. This is why I think that there is a glimmer of possibility, why there is some hope that Will Levis would be the number one overall pick to Carolina. We were told all along that Carolina was willing to trade down to number two. We didn't believe it, because why would they trade up from nine to one? Why would they do that?
Yep.
And then slip back one spot? Well, maybe that was true, and they were willing to slip back one spot to recoup draft capital, and they knew they could get
Will
Levis.
Still get the guy that they want.
Second point, what is Frank Reich's history of quarterbacks? Frank Reich's history of quarterbacks are big white dudes, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz,
Philip Rivers,
Matt Ryan.
Yep.
They also talked about how they want their offensive system to kind of have RPO of elements. Sure, yeah. If you want to go to the Philadelphia days, I didn't even think about the Philly days. They also mentioned how they want their offense to be like RPO-centric. Bryce Young, to me, is more kind of spread quarterback. Like, I don't really see him running tons of RPOs. Not that they're going to ask a rookie quarterback to run tons of RPOs, but RPO elements. I think Will Levis is a better scheme fit with RPO element than Bryce Young is. The third and final point, this might be the best one. Carolina's offensive coordinator is Thomas Brown. Thomas Brown was the associate head coach to Sean McVay with the L.A. Rams. The L.A. Rams offensive coordinator in 2022 was Liam Cohen. In 2021, Kentucky. Liam Cohen was the offensive coordinator at Kentucky.
Yep.
There are some things that track with Will Levis going to Carolina. Again, I think it's like a 10% possibility of happening. But they were willing to trade down to two. Frank Reich's history of quarterbacks and their offensive coordinator is Thomas Brown, who's tight with Liam Cohen, Will Levis' former OC.
I think that it would bring joy to Mudville. It would bring joy to Houston in the fact that it would be such a way to erase so many wrongs that has left such an indelible mark with Texans fans. The only thing we don't know is if Bryce Young is going to live up to billing and play, right? We don't know if Will Levis can either.
We don't know that about anybody.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. So the fact that would actually be able to rewrite the history of losing your last game, losing that pick, all the talk about possibly having to give up draft capital you sorely need to try and resurrect this roster and this franchise because of one pick, because of one mistake that you don't think you can outlive. This is the only thing that could do it. This is the only way that they could save face from all of that, those missteps, and they could still get their guy, regardless of whether he pans out or not. This is what all Texans fans had conditioned their minds to believe was the only answer of hope to get them going forward. And you're right. It could save face for everything that's been done to this point and bring even more excitement to this city than maybe even when D'Amico was hired.
Then we can all thank Will Levis. BetGM odds earlier today, this morning. BetGM early this morning. Bryce Young was -2,000. Will Levis was off the board for whatever reason. 2 hours ago, Young minus 1,400, Levis plus 500. The most recent odds, Bryce Young minus 550, Will Levis plus 300. Just telling you, the trends are there. Is it just happening? A Reddit rumor? Is it happening? Are the points that I just made, are they legitimate? I have a crazy conspiracy theory where the Houston Texans are making up all of this. And I want to tell you, I want you guys to tell me if I'm being a conspiracy theorist or a realist. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I got to tell you about human resources and payroll. You know who they are. HR&P, that is a realist. No conspiracy theory there. They are great. They are the very best in what they do. They're Cougar owned by Mike Holley. He used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner. Now he wants to protect you and your business. Members of the Cougar 100 for the 8th year in a row as well. Business owners, let HR&P help you. You're doing yourself and your company a disservice if you're not. Either HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, HR&P can help in all of those areas. There's no boxes with HR&P. It doesn't matter how small the job, doesn't matter how big the job. HR&P will completely customize a plan for what you need, for what your business needs. HR&P is there to help in whatever way possible. Problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, a lot off your plate, HR&P will find a way to help. They'll create a way to help. They'll customize a way to help. And they do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best technology. You'll love that. You'll never worry about that. But you'll fall in love with their service. I can attest to that service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You won't be talking to a stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows your business needs. As Blankers knows, as Joe knows, I don't like talking on the phone. I'm an email guy. I'm a text message guy. Anytime I have a question that I need to ask HR&P, I fire off an email. I get a quick answer that's very easy to understand. So employers, take care of your employees. Do them a favor. Give them a call right now, 281-880-6525, and let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right. Big day in Houston sports, man. You got three lead stories. The Rockets hiring Ime Udoka. When can they be a playoff contender again? We're going to talk to Kelly Eco in studio coming up at 1:30. You don't want to miss that. Jordan Alvarez. Dare I say a little soft?
No. Dare you say?
Dare I say a little soft?
You've already said it.
Dare I say it?
No, you're wrong.
He graduated from being soft the other day.
He's not soft.
He just chooses
That's
when he
right.
doesn't.
That's right. Right after you stopped, Carl, you said he doesn't deserve it anymore.
You got a little, he flew now back to Houston. Back. He flew back to Houston with a little neck strain.
He played all week with it.
He just doesn't want to play.
They flew him back to make sure he's okay.
I'm pretty sure he played pretty well with it.
Yeah, we literally went a montage of like the most clutch hits of the season yesterday.
He was 3-for-15 in the Atlanta
series. He owned the Braves series. He won the Braves series for you.
I'm kidding. Let me. So,
oh, we know you are. We're still going to fight you.
It's funny though that like he had three hits, but they're all like the biggest hits of the series.
Well, I think he was 1-for-15 in his last at bats before the home run.
Makes sense.
In the first game,
I think he was 3-for-15 in the series against Atlanta. All three hits were incredibly clutch.
He wasn't great in the World Series last year, but he hit incredibly the most clutch moments of all time.
Yeah, it's hilarious. He chooses when he wants to play. The Texas Tiger on Twitter, the funniest part of this Reddit post is the account was created 6 days ago. I didn't know that part of it. But this Reddit post has caused the Vegas lines on who goes number one to go haywire, going crazy about what could happen at number one. 5506 text, Panthers take Levis, Texans still take defensive end is the most Texan thing to do. I didn't even think about that scenario.
It's a very good call.
Didn't even think about the possibility of that.
I mean, if they take Will Levis number one and the Texans take Tyree Wilson number two.
Joe.
Oh, man.
I think it was before you made your triumphant return to the Gal Media studios. We had a long, because people... Some people took offense to it, and they didn't like the whole Texans are going to Texan. And then we kind of recapped all the different ways the Texans have Texaned to give us the belief that just like in the last game of the regular season, when nothing could possibly go wrong to screw it up now, but the Texans are going to Texan, and it happened again, just like Jack Easterby and the coaching search and all the other ones that we kept going on. And certain people lost their bleep in mind, like, what does that even mean? You can't say that. It's not true. It is true. And you know what? That's exactly what the next Texan is going to Texan move could be.
Yeah.
No.
Could be.
If they take Tyree Wilson and Bryce Young's on the board at two, it is the worst decision in the history of this franchise by a million NFL miles.
You know how the D-Hop trade was...
You can't say that before it plays a snap.
I don't
care. But maybe the... Remember how the D-Hop trade instantaneously became the worst trade in NFL history?
Let's see.
Oh, come on now.
It was bad. It was bad. And I was one that didn't mind trading D-Hop.
Right, but for what they got.
A ham sandwich?
They needed the Diggs trade. They needed Justin Jefferson.
Right.
Like, so, the Vikings traded Diggs that same offseason.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, so let's use this. It became arguably the worst trade in NFL history. Everybody across the board was going, this is the worst trade I've ever seen. This is the most horrible trade I've ever seen in the NFL. Most of the experts, most of the talking heads, they were all commenting on that. If you could go and fast forward and say, but wait, there's more. They have a chance with a dire need for a quarterback. They have a chance to get the number one quarterback on most everybody's board and the guy that they thought they screwed up by losing or by winning their last game of the regular season. And they're going to take a very unpolished defensive player instead? Oh, no.
Yeah, it'd be a very Texan thing to do. Although we don't know who's on their board.
All of the goodwill and all the committees they hired and all of Cal doing barbecues and not talking as much and Hannah and getting rid of Jack stuff, that's all out the window if they do that.
I think it's out the window if they take Levis. Listen to my reality or conspiracy. You guys let me know because we've seen C.J. Stroud's name get dragged. Mm-hmm. We're now seeing Will Levis get boosted that he could even be in play for the number one overall pick. Is this reality or is this conspiracy? 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. This is a series of events. Texans want Will Levis, okay? They've known that for a while. Texans want Levis. Texans, though, know that the fans don't want Levis. They want C.J. Stroud. We've learned that. We know that. So the Texans leaked all the truths about Stroud to lessen the fan base angst about how, when they draft Will Levis. The Texans now, to lessen the negative PR, post on Reddit to make Will Levis at first overall pick feel real. Feel like it's something that could happen. That way that when they draft him at the second overall pick come Thursday night, it makes the fans feel like it's not a reach because Will Levis is now on the table to be the number one pick. So if he's on the table to be the number one pick, you really can't get mad that he's the number two pick. So the Texans leaked the stuff on Stroud to make everybody aware that, okay, well, Stroud, he's got all these, kind of red flags. I don't feel as bad if the Texans pass on him at two. I don't really love the idea of Will Levis. It feels very reachy. Texans post on Reddit to get his odds to go way up, making fans think, oh, he's in play at one. If we get him at two, that makes me feel much, much better about the idea of Will Levis.
It would be too smart for the Texans.
They just hired a brand man or a brand ambassador or whatever the case may be.
I didn't see that.
Yes, you did. You talk about it all the time.
I don't know that there's a person. They might have hired a company. They're doing something different.
There you go. They have people that have their
This is
their
very Daryl Morey-ish because I told you guys when Daryl was the GM, he would hire interns and their whole job was to be like plants and bots, like posting pro Rockets comments and stories.
Strategic.
Yeah. It's not like it'd be the first time it's been done. It just doesn't. It seems too smart for a Texans move.
But they hired somebody.
But I'm not saying you're not making some sense here. Like there is a possibility this could have happened.
I think it's. I don't even believe this conspiracy.
But this is the same way.
Certainly in play.
No, but I think this,
it is in play.
It does. It follows like the track of when anything leaks, there's a reason, right? Like going back to Hopkins, when the Hopkins stuff came out, it then was eventually followed by the baby mama drama and like reasons why the Texans didn't want DeAndre Hopkins. Like there's always a spin.
Doesn't practice.
Yeah. There's always a spin that typically is just through the media. You're just saying it's through Reddit.
The next level.
But
Nick Cassero's a market guy. He knows about all these weird areas. He saw AMC. He saw GameStop. Influencing the market.
It's not out of the realm because this is exactly what we talk about with the manipulation of the media cycles and circles. Because, most people believe that whatever comes out of anybody's mouth has to be the truth. And whatever rumors are being linked has to be sources that are valid and credible, and it has to be the truth. And what they don't realize is, as we've highlighted, agents and coaches and players and organizations are playing the media to help them do what they need to do to get their point across, to try and sway the direction of a draft or a free agency period or whatever the case. It wouldn't be unheard of to use other outlets to do the same thing.
I just thought of something.
Revelation.
Kyle McNair did an AMA on Reddit. The Houston Texans have used Reddit before.
Sure.
They've used Reddit before to give back to the fan base. They are not inexperienced when it comes to using Reddit as a platform
all,
to send a message out.
Then they better have, then this company better be doing it, because no one believes Cal was smart enough to set that whole thing up after doing the AMA.
No, it's definitely not Cal. Conspiracy or reality? The Houston Texans, they did this whole thing. They're the account that's behind this. They've used Reddit to their advantage in the past. They are using Reddit in their advantage right now to when the Houston Texans take Will Levis. Because ask yourself this right now. If we've seen the line movement with Will Levis, right? We've seen the line movement just these last overnight, even this morning, to where he went from plus 5,000 to now plus 400. We've seen the line movement. Does it make you feel a little bit better right now? If you were an anti-Will Levis guy, you wanted no part of Will Levis at number two. Does it make you feel better now if Will Levis is the pick at two with the most recent line movement?
No.
Does it not?
Mm-mm.
Really?
No, it doesn't do anything for me.
Okay.
Because while I do think that Vegas and typically, and really this isn't even starting with Vegas. This is offshore books started the movement, and then now we've seen the Vegas ones follow. What's interesting is, like, if he crosses that line to being a betting favorite or if Bryce Young becomes plus money all of a sudden, like, that's when I'm really intrigued.
That's the absolute key to me, too. As long as Bryce Young is negative, like, in the hundreds, I think Bryce Young is still the number one overall
pick. Right, but that's
not
the question.
I know, but I'm just saying, I'm with Joe, but, I on Thursday morning, it's the Paolo Banchero all over again. All of a sudden on Thursday morning, if there's a 180 and there's a plus with Bryce.
That's still not the question, though, because, like,
it doesn't
better. That's what I'm asking. Like, the fact that Will Levis is now way more likely to go number one based on the latest line movement, does that ease your concern at all if Will Levis is the pick at number two?
No, it shouldn't, because you shouldn't change your stance based on what other people are telling you. Like, if this was...
But they do. This whole, all of NFL draft talk is groupthink.
Yeah,
why
I know,
do people,
like,
hate Levis? Because they read an article where they said he was inaccurate. But, like, why.
But, like, if this was Stroud and we were to ask you that question, Jeremy... if Stroud's odds change dramatically, be the number two pick, you wouldn't all of a sudden like CJ Stroud.
That's a great counter question.
So it's
really
like,
is.
Well done.
It's like you shouldn't be, you know, just because the Vegas odds are going to tell you this is what's going to happen. Honestly, all it's really going to lead to is more heartbreak. Like, all you're doing right now, Jeremy, is like you're getting like three or four people that are listening, and like they're in their car, and they're like, oh my God, we're going to get Bryce Young, and then they're not going to get Bryce Young.
I'm asking y'all if it's a conspiracy, if it's reality. I don't even believe it, if I'm being honest with you. Like, 10% chance it's reality. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network was on with the Wheelhouse yesterday, if a tree falls in a forest. Anyways, he said some things during that interview, which you'll hear here for the first time. But Daniel Jeremiah broke down why I believe the Houston Texans will be taking quarterback at number two, even though Daniel Jeremiah doesn't even see that himself. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Few people are, they're buying this conspiracy. I'm not even sure I'm buying it, to be honest with you. I think it's like a 10% chance that it's reality.
You throw it out there.
It's just such a fun theory. It's a fun theory. 5044, maybe the reality is it's a conspiracy. Ooh, mind blown. Eric the driver says, I see the strings you're following, but it's too smart for the Texans. But the Texans hired outside people to handle this kind of stuff. Like, it's the same thing with the uniforms.
I didn't know that for sure. I speculated because they changed so drastically.
I thought they hired somebody.
I never saw that.
I thought that they hired somebody who was responsible.
I just felt like move after move, and the way that they made a softer, gentler at more relatable Cal, and they and Nick Caserio was suddenly 180 degrees easier with the way he was handling press conferences and the barbecues and the fans and the uniforms and the logos. I just feel like it just felt like someone came in from the outside to try and change all the wrongs.
Somebody's manipulating this. Somebody's talking about this. I'm telling you, the Houston Texans are putting it all together. They want Levis, and they're trying to ease the blow of the backlash of what it's going to be like whenever they draft Will Levis to number two.
What if this is, what if it's the Panthers preparing their fans for Will Levis?
Could be.
They're giving them the heads
up.
Like, hey guys,
this is happening.
I know you all thought it was Bryce. That ain't true.
Here's the biggest, like, I guess, to pop the balloon, to burst the bubble here. Why did Bryce Young cancel all of his other interviews? Cancel all his meetings with teams?
Well, he did. He knew he was going top two.
He knew where he was going. It was a done deal.
He visited here.
Okay. All right.
So it's he knows.
So it was Carolina, Houston, top 30 visits. He canceled everybody that wasn't Houston, Carolina. Okay.
But also, like, sometimes people are just make bad decisions with that. Jabari Smith did that. He only met with the Magic. Like, that could have bit him in the ass pretty bad. Like, if the Rockets didn't know anything about him, like, they didn't meet with them, they could have passed.
Well, think about how much they must have been crap in the bed when they didn't know what OKC was going to do, and they might have gotten stuck with Chet.
Yeah.
They did not want Chet. I know they didn't want Chet. And I was shocked when OKC took Chet, because I was like, oh my God, they did the Rockets a solid. And they're now going to get, which I think before the draft, both of us felt like he was the most talented player in this draft. Like, he had the most potential. He brought the most to the table. That's why I thought it was a slam dunk he was going to Orlando. The fact that he fell to three and fell into the Rockets' lap because OKC took Jet shocked me.
Sure. Shocked everybody. That was a huge shocker on draft night. 9723, if it really was Houston behind all the linked information on Stroud and then building up the hype for Levis just to lessen the blow for fans, and it makes me feel worse about the pick. If you have to do that much behind-the-scenes work to make your fans accept your pick at two overall, then maybe the guy isn't worth the pick in the first place. Now you're starting to walk into the, do you do what the fans want? Do you do what's in the best interest of your team? Because, look, I think that this is kind of good business. Like, do I totally believe this conspiracy? No, I don't. But if you know you're going to do something that's unpopular for the fans, like, you are doing things behind the scenes that's going to soften the blow. That's just good business. Like, all huge companies do this. We know about the late Friday night news leak, right? Whenever some bad news has to be delivered, when do they do it? They do it Friday afternoon to try to get it out of the news cycle the best they can. So, like, businesses and corporations do this all the time, where they're trying to control the message, whether good or bad. So it's not that you're giving in to the fans. It's not that the fans should decide what you're doing with the pick. It's you know what you're doing with the pick, and you're trying to manipulate reaction. That goes on all the time in corporate America.
This is, like, next level.
It is next
level.
Because it's very next level.
We've heard of teams doing this in the past, but they didn't do it to the extent that you're insinuating or at least suggesting could have been done by of all organizations, the Texans. Because we know Belichick's manipulated the system forever. We know and we've heard that Kuiper, not that he could be bought, but that, you know, agents get their way and get Mel and McShay and other guys to, like, report guys climbing draft boards and, you know, and stock rising. And we know that agents are out there pumping beat writers and NFL rumor breakers to you know, get their narratives out there, because it helps their players get more value and get more money, and it helps them from a team perspective. It helps players fall into the laps of teams that need them without having to make trades.
Yeah, I think all this is just random Redditness that's causing, like, the world to burn, because, you know, if the Texans were smart and they wanted to sell the fan base on Will Levis, they would be trying to convince behind the scenes a John McClain, a DJ Bieniemy.
I mean, McClain has taken a softer stance.
That, like, Will Levis is a good draft prospect, or Will Anderson is the right decision. Like,
did you see McClain's latest on Gallery Sports?
Oh, no, I did not.
He said the Texans have to go quarterback no matter what, which means no matter what would be Will Levis. Like, regardless of who's on the board at two, you have to go quarterback.
I tried to say that yesterday, and your poll dumped on me.
I have another one going on right now with Anthony Richardson.
I voted in it.
Did you?
I did
you
too.
Vote for?
I participated.
Who'd y'all vote for?
I did Will not Anderson. Vote for I did too. Will Anderson.
Y'all both voted for Anderson? Well, I haven't looked at it in a while. We'll do that in our last segment. 3878 Blankers. Texans did bring someone in to help the organization, to help image. Exactly the reason why Kyle is out and about more. Same reason that you had this conspiracy going on. I need the draft to
happen. Made an educated guess. I didn't know that.
I thought
and
you
I still
did.
Don't know that. No, and I still don't know who that is or what company or person was hired, because I haven't seen anything like that. It just felt like it because of all the like really extra convenient ways that they were trying to be softer, gentler, and more open to the fans.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. So Daniel Jeremiah, who works with Lance and NFL, DJ, NFL Network, which I should be taking his job after the scouting prowess that I've put together this NFL draft
season. You're Mel Kiper III.
That's fine. Handsome man, not really.
MK3.
Anyways, Daniel Jeremiah was on with the Wheelhouse yesterday, so first time you'll be listening to this audio. Daniel Jeremiah talked about how... Daniel Jeremiah was talking about... Y'all made me lose my train of thought.
They all called him DJ, by the way.
So Daniel Jeremiah, DJ, he does not think the Houston Texans will be drafting a quarterback in the first round. He believes that they are going to go defense, I believe. But he breaks down the exact reason why I think the Houston Texans are taking quarterback at number two.
As you get closer to the draft, I just keep coming back to the same thought, which is there's no way you can run it back with Davis Mills or throw Case Keenum in there as your starter. I just don't see that. That, to me, is not logical. I don't feel like they're starting quarterbacks currently on their roster. So that has to come in this draft. Now, whether it comes with the first pick or the second pick that they have at 12, you know, maybe there's some strategy involved there. I would just say that if you look at the history, outside of Lamar Jackson, when you run through the list of guys that, you know, were the second pick of a team at the quarterback position in the first round, you're going to run into a lot of names that aren't going to get you very excited, because you're either good enough to take with your first-round pick, or you probably shouldn't force it with your second one.
So this is the precise reason why I think that the Houston Texans are going quarterback at number two. We know that Levis is the betting favorite to be the second overall pick of the draft. That doesn't mean it's the Houston Texans. The Texans can move out of that pick, up, they can move down, et cetera, et cetera. So it doesn't mean that the Texans are the favorite to have Levis. It just means Levis is the favorite to go number two. But this is why I don't believe the Texans going the defensive route. I really don't believe they're going defensive end at all. And it's for the reasons that Daniel Jeremiah just told us. I believe the first question you have to ask yourself, do you think the Houston Texans are married to the idea of drafting a quarterback in the first round on Thursday? What is the answer to that question for you guys? Do you think they're married to the idea of drafting quarterback at some point Thursday, first round of the NFL draft?
I believe yes.
Joe George?
No.
You don't feel like they're married to the idea?
No, I don't, because I think there would be no question about who they're taking it to.
See, I really don't think there is a question of who they're taking
it to. I think they know they need a quarterback.
They're just tight-lipped. So I'm of Blanker's idea as well. Joe, you're on the other side. I believe the Houston Texans are married to the idea of taking a quarterback in the first round on Thursday.
I think they have to leave this draft with a quarterback. I'm not saying where, I'm not saying how, I'm not saying when, but I believe they have to leave this draft with a quarterback.
And that's the thing that I think is, like, I want to magnify what you just said. It's not so much that we feel they have to go quarterback, because we look at big picture, you know, some other people look at, they need quarterback because they need to win seven games next year. Okay, stop it. Like, take it, look at the big picture, the macro approach with this team and the way that this team's being built. But I believe the Houston Texans feel they have to leave the first round with a quarterback. I believe they are married to the idea of taking a quarterback in the first round of the NFL draft. If they're married to that idea, I'm convinced that they are. How are they going defense there and getting a quarterback in the first round? Unless you feel they're really high on Hendon Hooker, like Peter King has them taking Hooker at 12. I cannot believe that. There is no way the Texans can not take a quarterback at 2 and feel confident that they leave Thursday's first round with a quarterback.
Unless they do something before.
But even
Thursday.
Then, how difficult is that? It's hard.
I think you're talking about this scenario. I think we got a text yesterday about and we've talked about trading up to 3. Like, that's the only way to guarantee you get your defensive player and your quarterback is if you give up the farm for the third pick in the draft.
And that's going to be a hotly contested pick to be trading up. So you're going to have to outbid Tennessee. You're going to have to outbid Indy, who has the fourth pick, and Arizona might not want to trade down very far. Like, what is the scenario for the Houston Texans if they are married to the idea that they have to leave the first round with one of these quarterbacks on Thursday?
You said first round.
Yeah, Thursday. What is the, like, what is, if they're married to the idea of leaving the first round with a quarterback, How are they picking defense at two? I don't see how that scenario exists. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Blankers will explain how when we return. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, Dr. O and his staff, they're fantastic. They really care about their customers because their patients are their lifeblood. And they make sure that they listen to you when they're going to ask you some tough questions. They want to know what's been ailing you. Where have you been falling short? What's been going on? You can say everything from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom. Things aren't going the way they used to go and you're struggling. Well, now they're here to help because they have a way to make things better and get you back the way it used to be. It's really simple. Go to ApolloMH.com. See all the services that they offer. If there's a couple that you think might be able to benefit you, sign up for an appointment right there online. When you do, most major insurance are accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. But then go into that meeting and that appointment and be honest. Tell them what's been going on. Tell them where you're struggling. Tell them what you'd like to rectify. They will put you on a program that works. They'll get you the results you need. It starts with everything with hormone therapy that can get you more energy on a daily basis for both men and women. You can go in weekly to the clinic. You can have them show you how to administer it and then administer it yourself at home. Or you can do cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy, which you only have to go in every 6 months, but you get that extra added benefit of more energy on a daily basis. Otherwise, you want to start with a B12 shot. That might be your first step to getting more energy. If you want to get into workout programs in the gym and recovery programs, there's body composition analysis. There's HGH peptide therapy to recover quicker. They have stuff for your smoothies, too, and two locations to better serve you. Start by making the appointment. Talk to them and see how they can help. Find out how they can get you results. They even have FDA-approved ways you can lose up to 6 pounds a week. And I'm not a math major, but I can tell you that's 24 pounds in a month. That's pretty amazing, too. Check them out and tell them I sent you by. You can get that B12 shot for free or a free body composition analysis on your first official visit. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.